So this morning, Julie and I were having our cup of joe, as is our tradition. I saw Julie's look. She's like, where is this story going? Because if it's from this morning, then it must not have been in the original manuscript, so it didn't get vetted properly. No, I'm just teasing. But we were having our cup of joe this morning, and then I thought it was a good time to bring up my coffee joke, because we enjoy a good cup of coffee. And so I was asking her about coffee at church, and you know, church coffee always has a reputation of being a little bit nasty, and I made it this morning, so if it's nasty, it's my own fault, okay? Church coffee in general, yes. Church coffee in general. That's right. Church coffee in general has a reputation of being nasty. And in fact, I was reading a guy this week. He said that he really enjoys a good cup of coffee, but he makes a point of having church coffee because it's a way that God's people can suffer together. And so when we were having this conversation, I asked Julie if she has church coffee at here on Sunday mornings, because I usually don't, and apparently she does, and apparently we've got a tradition here where between the worship time and between the sermon time, there's a group of you that go back and get your cup of coffee and then come back in. It's a tradition that we have that I didn't even know we had, but some of you, that's your tradition. And so this kind of does fit with our sermon this morning. It's an interesting story, but it also does fit with our sermon this morning. This morning the message is, it's from Hebrews. We're continuing in Hebrews chapter 11, where it talks about faith. And this morning's text, it's about the kind of faith where you have your sort of your normal routines, right? Getting coffee between worship and the sermon. Or your normal patterns or the way that you live. But then sometimes faith calls us to kind of go off on a different way, to do something a little bit different. And the coffee example is kind of funny. It's not very serious, but the story that's here, it is a much deeper story, right? It's the time when Moses' parents were instructed by Pharaoh to abandon their son. All the Israelites were called to do this when their children were born, and Moses' parents, by faith, instead decided to hide Moses for as long as they could, for 3 months, and the idea that I hope we'll see in this text is that the norm there was to obey the king, to do what is expected, to follow the habits that you have. But here, by faith, they went off on a different path. So faith that acts in extraordinary times or in extraordinary ways. And I know some of you might say, yeah, if I had to break my coffee tradition, that would be extraordinary. So we're talking about faith in this passage of Hebrews, and from right at the beginning, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it tells us what faith is. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And faith it often it jumps into play when the future is foggy, right? Which is pretty much all the time, right? We can't see the future except by faith, with our faith eyes. Or faith also steps in when all the evidence that you see points to a certain outcome or path. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes faith takes us a different way, right? Like when we're called to a certain course of action, when God calls us to a certain course of action, but all the evidence, all the things that you can see tells you know what, that's not going to work out. That's maybe not a good idea. And sometimes those are the cases when we proceed by faith. So today's example of faith is kind of like that. There comes a time when the normal path, the default path, the expected path goes one way, but we by faith go the opposite way. Our passage for today is Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. For Moses' parents, the default path would have been to obey the king's edict, to abandon their son. And by faith, they took a different path. They did this because they saw that Moses was a fine kid and because they weren't afraid of the king's commands. You might know the story. Many years before Moses was born, Joseph, an Israelite, was the prime minister of Egypt under Pharaoh. And Joseph died, and the Israelite people, God's people, they had many descendants, so the land of Egypt became filled with them. And then a new Pharaoh came along, one that doesn't remember Joseph. And he's like, look at all these Israelites. If somebody attacks us, then they're going to side with the people that are attacking us. So he put slave masters over them, and they built the storehouses of Pithom and Ramses. But the Bible says the more that the Israelites were oppressed, the more they multiplied. So the Egyptians came to dread them and work them ruthlessly. Well, Pharaoh comes up with another plan, instruct the midwives to kill all the newborn boys, but let the girls live. Well, the midwives feared God, so they disobeyed the king's instructions. So then Pharaoh ordered that every Hebrew boy that is born to you, to the Israelites, must be thrown into the Nile, into the river, but let every girl live. And during this period, Moses, a boy, of course, was born. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. If you want to follow along at the same time, you can kind of keep one thumb or bookmark in Exodus chapter 2 and the other one in Hebrews chapter 11. But Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, Moses. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. That's so horrible, right? It's like for 3 months they'd hidden Moses. They tried to keep him quiet, and now they can't hide him any longer. Verse 3, when she could hide him no longer, Moses' mom took for him a basket made of bulrushes and dabbed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. Well, Moses' big sister, probably Miriam, watches from the edge of the river, and Pharaoh's daughter finds the basket with Moses on board. And this is just, it's just awesome how you can see God at work in this story. This is how our God works. Moses' sister approaches Pharaoh's daughter and she says, "Hey, should I go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse this baby for you?" "Yes." So then it turns up that Moses' mom raises Moses until he's weaned. And not only that, but Pharaoh pays her to do that. How awesome is that? And then after that, Moses is raised as a son of Pharaoh's daughter. And so our verse for today, Hebrews 11:23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray that we ask that you would open your word to us today. Please give us faith that steps off the path that we might otherwise be on and follows you. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to everyone here, everyone listening through this text today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So what exactly did Moses' parents do by faith? Well, they hid Moses. And maybe that doesn't sound like a big deal, but you have to imagine that they were disobeying the king's order. This is an extreme example of what faith does. Sometimes faith takes us off the default path. Here with Moses' parents, the default path was to go along with Pharaoh's instructions. As soon as Moses is born, throw him in the Nile. But instead, by faith, they went against the path. For 3 months, as long as they could, they, they hid Moses. And most of the other examples of faith in this section of Hebrews, they follow this pattern that by faith so-and-so did such and such. By faith Abraham offered. By faith Isaac blessed. By faith Joseph spoke. But here we have by faith Moses was hidden, right? It's like the faith was his parents' faith. And your translation might be a little bit different, but the way it says is by faith Moses was hidden by his parents. And so the question is, who hid him, right? Because the normal pattern is the person doing the extending the faith is mentioned, and then what they did by faith. But here, who hid him is his parents hid him, right? And who had faith? His parents, of course. But it's interesting, we don't even get their names in this passage. And the point is that this passage is about Moses. It is all about Moses. It focuses in on Moses. Now remember, when we're talking about faith that goes against the default, against the norm, and so things are going to be a little bit different when we kind of go against our normal path. So it's not normally healthy to lose our identity, as it were, for our child or for anybody else. Here the faith of Amram and Jochebed, Moses' mom and dad, took them off the normal path so that they could focus on Moses. This was where the urgency was. This was where their faith was. And within this story, maybe one of the other ways that this story is significant is because it does seem so hopeless, right? We hear about we talk about faith of going off the path, and we'll talk about that in a minute, of how it's like, well, yeah, of course we would, if it was our child that was at risk, of course we would do that. But maybe a big part of the faith here as well is Moses' parents decided to hide him. And it's like, well, what's that even going to do? We know that we can't hide him forever. We're not going to be able to raise him until he's an adult. And so eventually we're going to have to do something, and eventually they did, right? After 3 months, they could hide him no longer. And so at that point where they're thinking, what step of faith do we need to take here? There's a faith that's saying, we're going to hide him, and we don't know how this is going to turn out. We don't know whether we'll be able to hide him for a few days or a few hours or a few weeks or maybe 3 months or maybe a few years, and we don't have a plan for after that. Like, what are we going to do? And what they did was what the king called them to do right at the beginning. They put him in the Nile River. But at that moment, right when he was born, there's a faith that says we can't see the future, but we believe that this is what we're supposed to do by faith today, and we trust that God's got the future. By faith, we can see that there is a future. We just don't know what it is. And so the norm here is throw your newborn son in the Nile River. And I think our response, of course, is no, that's not going to happen, right? If the king or anybody tells me to do that, I'm not gonna do that. I won't do that. And maybe that's why this is a good example, because the stakes did have to get pretty high before Amram and Jochebed would go against the norm, right? The point in that is this, that is Christians, our default is not to go against the default, right? Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Right? You with me? We don't rock the boat for the sake of rocking the boat. But we do rock the boat, right? Jesus is a rebel, but not without a cause. Tax laws are unfair, so I'm going to cheat on my taxes? No, that's not what we do. I was doing some important work for Jesus this week. Didn't have time to study, so it's okay to cheat? No. I was insulted, so I'm out? No, right? Those aren't the examples that where we would go against the norm. The government wants me to do such and such with my kids, my health, my property. There comes a point, right? And we see where that point was for Moses' parents. There comes a point where serving our King Jesus means we go against what the world expects. And so here's the test. Am I going against the norm because I'm looking for a fight? Or am I going against the norm by faith, right? Is it my faith that's informing this decision? Even at the point where the government was calling them to abandon their own son, Amram and Jochebed went against this by faith, right? By faith. And so this example sets the bar super high. Back to our Hebrews verse 11:23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful. Beautiful here means extraordinary, pleasing, good, handsome, well-bred. Beautiful. We might be tempted to say that every child is beautiful, and that's true. But the Bible tells us here that there was something unique about Moses. All right, so you're gonna have to pay attention here for a couple of minutes because hopefully those of you that would otherwise fall asleep got your coffee between the worship and the sermon time. So pay attention here for a couple minutes. Because there's something super important here that requires us to take a look at three different passages, three different books in the Bible. Is this part of Moses' story? It's told in Exodus, where the original account is, and then in Hebrews that we're looking at today, and then in Acts it's mentioned as well. And in Exodus is telling the Israelite story, right? This is the original account. So Exodus 2, verse 2 says, "The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months." And then Hebrews, our verse for today, is showing us the faith that was hidden in this story, right? Everybody that the Hebrews that would be listening to this story, they would be familiar with the story of Moses. And so here we're shown the faith that's hidden in this story. And it instructs us to exercise this kind of faith. Hebrews 11:23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful. And then in Acts chapter 7, we have this speech from a guy called Stephen. Stephen was a leader in the early church, and at this point in Acts, the religious authorities had just challenged Stephen. We've heard Stephen say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us, was their charge against Stephen. And just after the speech that Stephen gives here, they stone him. So super intense time. And here in Acts chapter 7, Stephen gives this speech in which he shows these religious leaders that throughout their history, God has raised up men to act as deliverers of his people. And every time God's people rejected that leader. And so one of the examples that Stephen gives of a leader that God raised up is Moses. And so he tells this little story of Moses' birth in Acts chapter 7, verse 20. This is part of Stephen's speech. He's telling about, he's lifting up Moses as one of these examples. "At that time, Moses was born, and he was beautiful in God's sight, and he was brought up for 3 months in his father's house." He was beautiful in God's sight. In this case, because Stephen is just telling the facts about Moses, it doesn't say that anybody saw that Moses was beautiful. He just is, right? Some manuscripts just have he was beautiful. Some say he was beautiful in God's sight. But whether he was beautiful in God's sight or he was beautiful, it's the same thing. In Exodus, Mom saw that Moses was a fine child. In Hebrews, Mom and Dad saw that the child was beautiful. In Acts, we learn that he was beautiful. He was beautiful in God's sight. This was the fact. Right from the time that Moses was born, there was something extraordinary about him, something fine about him. He was just a good-looking baby. Every mom and dad is like, "Isn't my baby the most beautiful thing?" And sometimes we're like, "Whoa, that's a..." No, I don't think any of us ever do that. Every baby's beautiful, right? But Moses, this wasn't a thing of perception or anything else. Moses was beautiful or set apart in a special way. But then Amram, his dad, and Jochebed, his mom, they see that he's beautiful. And this scene that Moses is beautiful, this is what triggers their faith. Friends, listen here. This is a truth that we want to be applying in our lives. We want to be watching for things that are beautiful. If you find something beautiful, protect it, care for it, grow it. Jochebed didn't know that her son would free his people from slavery, but she saw that there was something special about Moses. And for us, we're not zombies, right? We're not the undead. We're alive, and so because of that, we can look around and we can see. In Germany, I read that they call, you know, when you're walking around like this on your phone and you're not really looking where you're going and you bump into something, right? In Germany, they call them smombies, smartphone zombies, and it's people that are walking around and they're oblivious to traffic and other people, or rogue lampposts because they're so busy on their phones, right? And so to help with this problem, they actually in one city they put traffic lights in the sidewalk, right? So you're walking along and it's like, whoa, there's a red light. Oh yeah, there's a road here, right? And apparently this is a true story. I found it on the internet. So they put these stop signs here, and then now people are way more productive because they don't need to look up at all, right? They can just be walking around, doing their important work, looking at the ground. If they have to stop, the sidewalk tells them, goes green, and they can carry on. So the point is that in our lives, right, that's a picture of sometimes what our lives are, that we don't want to be smombies. Don't miss us. Too often we just rush through life, right? In my life, I know, I don't know if this is true for all God's people or just for me, but I know that in my life, the Holy Spirit often works through unusual circumstances or thoughts or observations that pop to mind. And I would miss that if I wasn't looking for it, right? Now I'm sure that Amram and Jochebed, they also loved their other kids, Aaron and Miriam, and I suspect that they saw something special in them as well. But each of their children was unique, right? And in Moses, there was something extraordinary that his parents saw. I'm sure that there was something extraordinary in the other kids, but it's this idea that even though that whatever that extraordinary thing was in Moses, even though it was there right from the beginning that God proclaimed that there was something there, there came a day when Moses' parents, they saw that, and that's what triggered their faith. Brothers and sisters, pay attention. See the world around you. See the people around you. Sometimes our faith won't be activated until we lift up our heads and look around and see that, oh yeah, God is at work there, and I want to be a part of that. And then he'll activate our faith. So Moses' parents were able to hide him because they saw that he was fine, and because they were not afraid of the king's edict. They were not afraid of the king's instructions. Here's the thing. Even if by their faith eyes, Moses' parents saw that it was time to take the path less traveled, fear could get in the way. I don't know the consequence of disobeying the king's edict, but I'm sure the consequences were scary. But Amram and Jochebed, they weren't being scared by the king's edict. And that's us sometimes, isn't it? We look around and we see God doing something awesome. We hear him calling us to a different path. Then we get scared. Yikes, that looks scary. I better just go the route that I know best. The one that I can see. Right? It can be frightening when we're called to take a different path where the only way we can see it is by faith. But friends, let's have faith that's greater than the scary things in this world. Have faith that's greater than the scary things in this world. All right, let's wrap her up here. As Christians, as believers, our deepest faith it goes against the norm. And the norm is this: I'll do what I want, and I'll be a good person by my good work. Our faith says the opposite. Our faith goes against the world's default. Our faith says, I'm a good person because I have Jesus' righteousness. He died for me, got in trouble for the bad stuff I do, and I have his righteousness. So I'm not a good person because of my good work. I'm a good person because of Jesus. But to go to that place of faith, to go against what the world might be calling us to, we have to see Jesus, right? Have you seen him? Have you seen that when Jesus was born, he was a fine child? Have you seen that we serve a beautiful God that created us and loves us, right? It's like I claim that it's, and the Bible does too, that it's obvious that there's a God. It's obvious that there's a God that loves us. But sometimes we just don't see that. We're just, for whatever reason, we're not willing to open our eyes and see that. And that said, for our deepest faith, for our faith that takes us into eternity, it starts by seeing God. Friends, let's not be smombies. Don't go too long without lifting your head to look around. You can't miss Jesus if you just look around. Just like Amram and Jochebed saw Moses, we want to see Jesus. You're like, how could Moses' parents, how could they not see that he was a fine child, right? I think that's the question for all of us. How could they not see that he was a fine child? I think every parent at some point is like, oh, this is a fine child. I'm so blessed. And that's exactly the question. How could they not see him? He was their son. And you know what? The same question applies for all of us. How could we not see Jesus? Like he is just as obvious as the son or the daughter that we see, that we know is special. Sometimes we have to stop what we're doing so that we can see what's going on around us. Sometimes we need to stop what we're doing so that we can see Jesus. But then we see Jesus, then just like Amram and Jochebed, we have to decide, am I still being scared by the rules of this world? It can be scary to step into something we don't know well. That's what our faith does. Our faith is greater than the scary things around us. By faith, we can follow Jesus because we can see that he is awesome and because we're not afraid of the world. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would plant a new faith in the hearts of each of your people. And Lord, our prayer too is that those that don't know you, that they would lift their heads up and they would see you and they would choose to serve you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.